In this week's market update, shares reach new highs and bond yields fall as reopening optimism increases in Europe and the US, but notably not in the more cautious UK. However, all eyes are on the Fed's latest rate-setting meeting as investors continue to focus on inflation fears. Stock markets are climbing the proverbial wall of worry this week as economies reopen, but investors fear that the flip side of increased economic activity will inevitably be rising inflation. The inflationary narrative was given a significant boost last week by CPI data in the US showing prices rising at 5% year on year, the highest inflation rate since 2008. The jury remains out on whether the fast rising inflation data is the start of a prolonged period of higher prices or just a reflection of last year's low comparisons during the worst of the pandemic. Governments and central banks are sticking to the script for now that inflation is a transitory phenomenon which will soon run out of steam as weak base effects fall out of the comparisons. Because of that, this week's meetings at the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan will be in focus. The Federal Reserve's rate-setting meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday is the main event from a market's perspective, much more important than the G7 political summit in Cornwall, which reassured the world that the chaotic Trump years are in the past, but which was longer on good words than real plans. Attention will focus on whether the Fed starts talking about the timetable for trimming its monthly purchases of bonds, amounting to $120 billion a month currently. The US Central Bank is expected to talk more openly about reining in those purchases over the next couple of months with a view to actually cutting back next year. Growing confidence that the Fed is not about to tighten policy in the short term has seen the rise in Treasury bond yields in the spring pull back from a high of 1.75% to around 1.45% currently. There are a few reasons why bond yields should be falling, even as the inflation data seems to get worse. High among these are the sheer numbers of price-insensitive buyers of US government bonds, including, of course, the Fed, and the fact that even at only around 1.5%, US paper still offers a higher yield than alternatives in Japan and Europe. Most investors still expect that the Fed will only start tapering its monetary support next year, and actual increases in interest rates may not happen until 2024, nearly 3 years away. The gathering of world leaders on the English Riviera highlighted as many differences as common goals, with the UK cautious about joining the US's more explicit desire to create a strong and united counterweight to growing Chinese influence. The Western democracies are torn between the need to cooperate with China on global issues like climate change, the desire to compete effectively with it on the economic front, and a tentative and patchy wish to call Beijing out on human rights issues. The Biden administration is keen to create an alternative to China's Belt and Road investments, which is designed to bring developing countries under the rising Asian powers' influence. Along with other leading democracies, the US is hoping to spearhead its own green investment initiatives by, for example, providing improved access to funding for low-carbon projects like wind farms and railways. From a domestic perspective, the main issue at the G7 meeting was the bad blood between the UK and EU over the so-called Northern Ireland Protocol. That agreement eliminated the need for a hard border between the Republic and Northern Ireland, so protecting the Good Friday Peace Accord. But it did so at the cost of customs checks between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. Now, for obvious political reasons, the UK government is keen to backpedal on its commitments under the protocol, but the EU is equally adamant that only regulatory alignment between the UK and Europe can eliminate the need for those checks. Brexit has been hiding behind the pandemic during the first half of 2021, but it looks like it could reappear in earnest during the second 6 months. Worries about inflation and Brexit have not been enough to dampen investors' enthusiasm for shares, which hit a new all-time high on Friday last week. The FTSE All World Index is grinding higher, albeit at a much slower pace than earlier in the V-shaped recovery from last year's lows. Optimism is high on both sides of the Atlantic, with the S&P 500 at a new high, as is Europe's Stoxx 600 index. Last week's upgrade of growth forecast by the European Central Bank helped sentiment on the continent. Shares in Europe have now risen for four consecutive weeks. This week's focus is on this side of the channel, with inflation, jobs and retail sales data all due to be announced here in the UK. Ahead of those numbers, the FTSE 100 delivered its strongest weekly performance since early May on the back of a 2.3% increase in GDP in April, the fastest rise since July 2020. There remains some way to go before the damage caused by the pandemic is reversed. Although the UK economy is 28% bigger than it was a year ago, it remains 4% smaller than it was in February 2020 before COVID struck. The good news is that the main drivers of the services-focused UK economy are bouncing back strongly. Accommodation up 69% and food and beverage sales 39% higher. That chimes with Bank of England chief economist Andy Haldane's forecast that the UK economy will bounce back like a coiled spring, releasing large amounts of pent-up demand. The Bank of England thinks that the British economy will grow 7.25% in 2021. The good news for UK investors came despite the widespread expectation confirmed this week that the long-awaited final opening up of the British economy on the 21st of June will not happen for another month at least. The government's insistence that reopening will be data-driven, cautious and irreversible means that it cannot ignore the rising numbers of infections, especially because most of them are now of the so-called Delta or India variant. It remains unclear how effective current vaccinations will be against those new, more transmissible COVID strains. Investor optimism is being reflected not just in new highs for stock markets, but also in the amount of money finding its way into investments. For the first time ever in May, global assets in exchange-traded funds rose above $9 trillion. BlackRock, a big player in the ETF market, predicted last week that total ETF assets could rise to $15 trillion by 2025. ETFs currently account for only 3% of total assets in equity and bond markets, so there's plenty of scope for growth for many years to come. Another fast-growing corner of the asset management universe is private capital, where investors have now invested more than $7 trillion in sometimes less liquid and opaque investment strategies that offer the prospect of better returns than stock markets, where valuations are relatively high after more than a decade of rising prices. Again, the private capital markets are dwarfed by traditional shares and bonds, but rapid growth in areas like private equity, private credit, real estate, infrastructure, and venture capital suggests that investing in future will look a lot more diversified than in the past. The growth of platforms will be key to democratizing private market investments, making them available to investors with smaller amounts to put to work than the current mainly institutional base. Looking at other asset classes, Bitcoin is very much in focus this week for technical analysts who are pointing to an apparent floor at the recent $30,000 low. If that level holds, then the prospect of further falls in a so-called fifth wave drop from the recent highs looks less likely. That might mean that Bitcoin starts to follow the recovery in other so-called meme stocks like GameStop, which has fully recovered from its plunge in January and is now attracting lots of speculative interest again. And finally, there's good news for oil bulls, as the International Energy Agency said on Friday that demand should exceed pre-pandemic levels by the end of next year. The price of Brent is currently at its highest level for 2 years at around $73 a barrel, as the agency restated calls for OPEC to start opening the taps again to keep the world well supplied. The key question for energy demand is the pace of vaccinations and the speed with which travel restrictions are lifted. Petrol and diesel demand for cars is also uncertain as work from home practices continue.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.